Welcome to class. Did you know you're in class this morning? This is our 10 o'clock hour. I refer to it as the teaching hour because all throughout the building there are classes happening, and this is considered our adult Sunday school class. We call it, right now we're working through a curriculum called God's Word for Life, because God's Word is meant for every day, everywhere, for life. Do you believe that? Then tell me. Y'all look so pretty in your Easter outfits. Handsome in your Easter outfits. Make sure we get it right. I'm so glad you're here. Easter. What a celebration. You know, I've been thinking a lot this Easter and just really trying, as Pastor's been encouraging us to reflect in it. I think if we're not careful, sometimes we can get a little bit familiar. Like, oh yeah, it's that. Oh yeah, we're here. Oh yeah, I have to prepare my Easter meal, or did I hide the eggs for the kids? Did I remember to get the chocolate? But if we would remember what this day is all about, yes, he's risen. But most importantly, he took our place. He took my place when he went to Calvary. He said, you know what? I love you so much, and I know this world is cursed with sin, but I want to spend eternity with you, and I'm going to make that happen. And he became the perfect sacrifice for us. And may we never forget, I hope that you have a fantastic day today. After you leave church, you can celebrate. But while you're here, you can have a fantastic day. And I believe that the Lord wants to speak to each one of us. And so let's pray as we enter into today's lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for all that you are doing and all you have yet to do. God, we just welcome you in this place, and we ask that you would minister, that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. God, that you would give us a deeper revelation of who you are. Give us a deeper revelation of who we are in you. Guide us and lead us in all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Joseph de Wooster was born on January 3rd, 1840, in Tremelo, Belgium. When he was just 13 years old, he was forced to quit school. All the 13-year-olds would probably be happy to leave school. This was not a happy circumstance for him. He had to go and work hard on his family's farm. 6 years later, at just 19 years of age, he entered the ministry and chose the name Damien. His brother and fellow priest, Pamphili, fell ill and was not able to go on his mission to the Hawaiian Islands like he had hoped, and Damien volunteered to go in his place. He arrived in Honolulu. Not bad for a mission field, huh? He arrived in Honolulu on March 19, 1864, and was ordained as a priest on May 21, 1864, beginning his dedicated work on the island. Seven years earlier, the Hawaiian government had set up a leper colony. The lepers were isolated on a peninsula, kept away from everyone else so that no one else would catch the disease. Damien was a member of a four-chaplain team who ministered to the lepers on a three-month rotation. But after he met and ministered to the lepers, he decided to stay full-time. He became their minister. He became their pastor. He cared for their spiritual, physical, and medical needs as best as he could. After more than a decade of selfless service, one day, Damien discovered what he had no doubt feared for a while. He had contracted the disease. In a poignant letter, he expressed his deep connection with those he served by writing, "We lepers." The beloved minister known as Father Damien died of complications due to leprosy on April 15, 1889, after 16 years of selfless service. He was just 49 years old. Just like Damien, we're called to serve in a tough spot. Maybe it's not in a leprous colony, but we're called to what sometimes we feel is a challenging field. The world that we live in is a dark world. It's a world that is heavily influenced by the dark spirits. Satan is heavy at work. And since humans broke their promise to God in the Garden of Eden, and we've been living in this fallen world where Satan is ruler, it's a challenge. It's a challenge, but God has called you, and he has called me. He has called us together to minister, to help those who are struggling with a disease that's even worse than leprosy. Interestingly, when you read through the Bible, often when it talks about leprosy, it can use sin. It could talk about the effects of sin and how devastating that it is. But you see, God didn't put us in the world and leave us unprepared. He didn't put us in the world and tell us to just do it on our own. He empowers us and he equips us. And that's what we're going to look at today. What does that mean? In our lessons, what we're doing is we're going through a year-long study of the covenant story. We started in Genesis, and we're working our way to where we'll end up in Revelation. And the entire year of this lesson is to help us to understand what it means to live in covenant relationship with God. It's not a contract where God says, okay, Jess, if you do this, and you do this, and you do this, then I'll do this. That's not how this works. But he says, hey, Jess, I love you so much that I'm going to be your God. And because I'm your God, here's what I'm going to do for you. And we love that, don't we? Wow, that's amazing. But there's also a response that he's looking for. You see, we have to choose to respond to the covenant. We have to choose to say, okay, yes, you are my God. I am going to give back to you the love that you are sharing with me. And we have to choose to respond and to use the authority that he gives us. Two of the Gospels, Mark and Luke, record how Jesus sent his 12 disciples out, and then he sent out more disciples, the 70, to do ministry that he taught them to do. This was Jesus' way of showing us what a covenant relationship looks like when he empowers us to do his work for his glory. Let's read about it this morning. We're going to read a few verses from Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. I'm reading this morning from the New King James Version. Mark chapter 6, I'm sorry. We're going to start at verse 4. Mark 6, verse 4. It says, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he had laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went out about the villages in a circuit teaching. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and to put on two tunics, and not to put on two tunics. Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place, and whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust from under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Let's go to the next book, Luke. Luke chapter 10. We're going to read 24 verses. It's okay, I'll read them for you. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. What he's saying is don't bring anything extra. Stay focused on what you're doing. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city ye enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear but have not heard it. In these passages of scriptures, we're reading about how Jesus empowers. He doesn't just send them, but he empowers those that he has a deep covenant relationship with. He was entrusting these followers who had committed their lives, who had committed their resources to the kingdom of God, and he was empowering them. When we talk about power and authority, sometimes we use those words kind of interchangeably, right? But I would say to you this morning that power and authority are very different words. Imagine that you're a pilot and you board a plane. You've flown planes for years. And now you're on a plane that you're not supposed to fly. You might know how to fly it, but you aren't scheduled that day to be the pilot. You don't have the authority. Authority is the right to use the power. Sometimes we think, I have the power, so I'm giving myself the authority. I have the ability, so I'm going to go and I'm going to do. And I would challenge you this morning that we have to be careful sometimes. We're quick to go and to do and to be busy, but we're not careful to hear and be sent. We can confuse being busy, because after all, who doesn't love to be productive? It's hard. It's hard to wait, and it's hard to listen. And in these verses that we read where he's talking to them, he says, don't go house to house. He's saying there's a specific place that you need to go, and you need to test it by testing what's in the Spirit. Meaning that, you know what, it's not here. It's what the Spirit is speaking within here. That's what we have to be led by. That's what it means to have his power and to walk in his authority. He doesn't just call us. He gives us the power. He gives us the authority to act in his name. It's not for us. It's not for our list of accomplishments. It's not for padding our resume. It's for his glory, for his purpose, for his kingdom. And when we are filled with the Spirit, we have the power of God and we have the authority. But we have to seek to listen and follow as he leads. We must patiently, sometimes I am not a patient person. Sometimes people say, wow, you're really patient. And I'm like, if you could see what's happening right now inside my head, you would not think so. But thank God for his grace and mercy and the filter that he gives us, right? But we must patiently wait for God to give us direction. And sometimes we don't like that. We must be busy. We must be about the Father's business. But what happens? What happens when we're off to our agenda and off to what we want to do and we miss the small voice that's leading us? I think about this, and it takes time to recognize that. It takes time to turn off the noise. It takes time to realize, like, that's God speaking to me. So it's okay at first if it's awkward. It's okay, but listen, because the best thing is he helps us, he guides us, he builds our faith as we respond to him. Think about it this morning. I'm going to ask you to think, is there something that he's asking you to do? Is there somewhere he's asking you to serve? You have the power to do it. Maybe you have the ability to do it. Maybe you have the skill to do it. Do you have the authority? Has he given you that and said, go and do this in my name? Or are you going in your name? There's a difference. Sometimes there's the good, positive peer pressure. We're like, oh, I know they expect this of me, so I better do it. But what is the Spirit saying? What is God asking of you personally? You see, back in Jesus' day, there were four main groups of people who were fighting for power. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealots. Jesus interacted with all these groups. He made some of them really, really happy. He made some of them really, really mad. Each group tried to stand out. They tried to differentiate themselves with how they presented themselves. Their clothes often showed what they believed and how important they were in society. For instance, the Zealots, those were the people who were super anti-Roman. They were from Galilee. What did they carry in their clothes? Daggers. That's where concealed carry started, I guess. Daggers. Why did they do it? It wasn't really in self-defense. They were on a mission to take out the Romans. They were going on their own in rebellion. The Pharisees followed the Jewish law to the letter. Many of them wore boxes that had the scriptures, the Bible. They had it on their head. They would tie it, or they would tie it around their arm. And some of them wanted really big boxes because I want you to know how important God is to me. It's really important that you know how big he is to me, right? Not quite the right attitude. Sometimes that turned into self-righteousness. The Essenes lived a very simple life. They shunned society, and they wore plain white robes to represent their purity and their commitment to a disciplined spiritual path. On the other hand, there were the Sadducees, and they are the ones who were the religious leaders who held sway over the temple in Jerusalem, and they donned luxurious robes, symbolizing their wealth and their authority. Their clothing choices reflected their desires to align themselves with the Roman powers and maintain their privileged status. You see, when Jesus sent out the 70, we heard about it in these verses, Mark 6, 8, and 9, he provided specific instructions about their attire. Take a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money. Have sandals. Don't bring an extra coat. He wanted their identity to reflect his teachings. He wanted their identity to reflect his teachings. And he did this by giving them a code of conduct, if you will. After all, this was holy work, and he wanted them, wherever they went, he wanted the message to be clear to the people that they approached what they were about. Think for a minute this morning, in what ways can we better reflect the inner work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The purpose of reflecting it is not for you to see how spiritual I am. The purpose of it is for you to see how much he's involved in my life. The purpose of it is to share the hope and the love of Christ with others, not so we can join this elite group of people, but that we can come together as a family of God that can encourage each other, that can share hope, that can give strength, that can invite people to know the Savior. This is not a social club. This is the family of God. We are invited to participate in the kingdom of God. Here in these scriptures, when Jesus is sending all of these people out, essentially he's giving them the keys and he's saying, go for a ride. I remember the first time I gave my son the keys. I should say, I remember the first time I gave him the keys and told him to go for a ride in his car. We're one of those mean parents where he had to learn how to drive a manual. And he's like, I got this. He was so confident. I love you, Kenley. I'm telling on you this morning. He was so confident. And we were here in the church because during the week there's no other cars here. And I'm like, we're pretty safe. He was so confident when he got behind the wheel and he started the car up. And he did good. He got it started. And then how many of you have driven a manual? Oh, yeah. You are my people. He pushed in the clutch and he shifted and it died. And he looked at me and I was like, bro, you gotta like ease off. Like there's a rhythm here. You gotta ease off, shift, and go. Okay. Now this is the kid who never fell riding his bike. I don't know if that was such a good thing. He took off on his bike and I thought for sure he would fall, and he had such good balance he never fell. He just rode off and that was that. But here he is, and he cannot get the car to go. And we sat there, and I'm not mean, I didn't record it, but we sat there, and I laughed. You know how it is in the car, and you're just jolted. And he was so confident this was going to work. But he just couldn't find the balance of where he had to let go and where he had to press. That's what Jesus wants for us. There's times when we need to let go and let the Spirit. There's a rhythm and there's a flow that comes when we learn about what he wants to do. That's what all that inner work that's taking place, that's what the Spirit's after in us. It's going to be clunky sometimes. I am proud to admit that he is now a much better driver than I am. Sometimes I do like to take his car for a ride just because it's fun, but I gave up my manual and I now drive a truck. It's going to take time. And I want to encourage you this morning that he's called you. He's given you the power with his Holy Spirit. He's given you the authority. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to walk with you. Sometimes there's this pressure that comes on. And it's like, you know what? There's all these things that he's asking me to do. There's all these people. Well, there's a news flash this morning. You aren't called to minister to everyone. You aren't. Your shoulders were never meant to carry the weight of everyone. But there is someone, some ones that you were meant to reach. And what if you listened and you said, Jesus, what do you want to do today? Jesus, who do you want me to talk to? Who do I need to be there for? What moment do I need to be present for? All too often, we're looking for the big. We're looking for the bright, the flashy, the miraculous. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, hey, that's great. It seems like an odd response when they're like, Lord, we did it. We did it. You should have seen it. He's like, yeah, been there, done that. But he says to them, what? I saw Satan fall. Why would he say that? Maybe he was reminding them that be careful when we get too full of this, when we get too full of this, when we get too full of this. Because the truth of the matter is, it's all about him and what he's doing. We're conduits. We're conduits for the Spirit. It should be flowing through us and out of us. Yes, and here too. The words we say, the words we type, the words we share should be all about him. All about him. So here he is. He's given the disciples the keys. They're driving, and he does not want them to get distracted. He doesn't. Life is so distracting. It's hard. The heart is deceitfully wicked. It will lead us astray. We will pursue things that are frivolous, things that are meaningless, if we aren't careful. It will become what we're all about. It will completely miss what he's setting before us. He's saying, hey, listen, you guys, those things are great. I want to heal the sick. In his love and in his compassion for us who are living in a fallen world where sin and disease now exist, he wants to be present. He wants to give healing. But more than that, he wants to spend eternity with you. He wants you to spend eternity with him. And he's saying, hey, more than that, the promise of salvation that I offer you, focus on that. Keep me the main thing. Keep me the main thing. As Jesus was working with these people, he knew that he would soon go to the cross and the grave. He knew that his ministry and his work here on earth would soon wrap up and he would soon leave and go to heaven. And so what he was trying to do was to multiply himself. Multiply his impact. His hands, his feet. And he joyfully sent them to go. He worked through them. Through them. Jesus called them. Jesus sent them. And the disciples went. And God was glorified through their actions. The formula seems really simple. We have to hear the call of God. And then we have to be willing to go where and when he calls us, where and when he sends us. We go in divine power and authority. Sometimes the pressure is on and we feel like we need to be all things to all people. I've been there. I have to consistently pull myself out of there and say, you know what? It's okay. And there have been moments in my life where it's been like, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I used to wrestle with that. And it used to be an insecurity for me because I should have all the answers. Why? Because of other people's expectations. But I'm not expected to have all the answers. I'm expected to help you, to help me to find the one who has all the answers. There have been moments of walking alongside some of you, others in this building, where you're walking through the challenges of life because life can be really hard. And there are moments I have sat there and I have been like, Lord, I didn't get a handbook on this. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? And that still small voice says, trust me, lean into me. And as I begin to pray and say, Lord, give me a sensitivity to you, I am not going to respond with my own reflexes. But as I have learned to listen, the most incredible thing happens when everything in me feels like I need to respond and give you an answer. And he says, wait. I'll never forget one time. It was a wrestling match between me and God. I was like, God, I can't wait. I told her I would call her on this day at this time and we would problem solve. Wait. But God, she's going to think that I don't care. Wait. But God, he just wouldn't listen to me. So I figured I might as well listen to him. And it was hard. I'm like, you better go do something. Because the longer you sit here, like the time is here, the appointment's here, it's time. And I let it go. Yes, it was a struggle. Sometimes I think that we do ourselves a disservice when we think it's supposed to be easy. God never said it would be easy. Reject that lie. Even in the hard, he empowers us and he equips us. I waited. I didn't do what I thought I needed to do. And the most incredible thing happened. He did one of the most powerful things in the heart of that lady and in her home that night that never would have happened if I would have given my advice and problem solved. He stepped in. We can trust the Spirit's work. It doesn't rest on us. What rests on us, what ministry is walking in obedience to what He's calling us to. That's what ministry is. Ministry is taking on the responsibility that He gives you, not that we assume. Our responsibility is to obey Him. Obedience and empowerment go hand in hand. It shows us. It's like working the clutch and the gas. Obedience and empowerment. He gives us the strength. He calls us. We hear and we go according to what He's asking. And it builds our faith. And we're like, oh, I got it right that time. And there are times when you're like, man, I messed that one up. It's okay, you're human. You're human. And I hate to break it to you, you won't be perfect on this side of heaven. It won't happen. But yet we strive for it. But what if we just strive to be people who are filled with His Spirit? And His Spirit is flowing through us, and we are walking in obedience to what He's asking us to do. You see, the truth is, God gave every one of us different gifts. He gave us a different set of skills and a different set of abilities. But for some reason, we feel this need that we need to become like so-and-so in order for this to be effective. I need to do my ministry like so-and-so. I need to be in this because that's the definition. What if we just stripped all that away and said, God, what do You want? What do You want? Because He will empower you. He will give you the authority if you will walk in obedience. And He gives us all the same fruit. The same fruit that we can read about it in Galatians. He's the one who gives us love. He's the one that gives us joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. He gives it to us. It's really hard when we strive to make it happen versus when we let it flow through us. You see, Jesus involved others, and He showed us that this covenant relationship is for everyone, not just the religious elite, not just those who speak behind a pulpit, not just those who teach in a classroom. Everyone, everywhere. He invites us into covenant relationship with Him. It's up to us to be faithful. It's up to us to be obedient. But what a blessing that can come out of it. It's hard to yield. It's hard to let go of what we want or what we've defined or what we've prescribed. We're expecting God to fulfill it. But what if this morning we could just simply listen to what He's calling us to do and say, you know what? Maybe I don't need the script, Lord. Maybe I don't need to worry so much about putting all the money in that purse. Maybe it's okay if I don't have another coat to take with me. Maybe it's time for me to be vulnerable before You and say, God, I don't have it all, but I know that You're the source of it all, and my confidence is in You, and just help me to walk in obedience to what You are calling me towards. Help me to be secure in who You are, and help me to become vulnerable for You. I think of Damien in that leper's colony. Many of us would avoid at all costs. We would reject that call, and we would say, no way, no way. But Damien went, and he poured his heart and soul into those people. And only eternity will show the impact that that had. And his life was cut short, 49 years old, 1 year shy of Jane. She's young and beautiful, but that gives us the image of his life. We think life is supposed to be X, Y, and Z. But Damien gave all in a place few of us would go. And only heaven will tell what was gained. We don't know what life holds for us. Boy, if there's anything I've learned in the last 2 years of my life, we don't have the control that we think that we have. We just don't. We don't. And we have to be willing to surrender, understanding everything, to just saying, Lord, I don't understand, and I'm okay on this side of heaven. I won't have all the answers, but I know that you are with me. I know that you are for me, and I know that you are ordering. So I'm going to take this step, and then I'm going to take the next step, and you're going to show me the very next step. And it's okay if I don't have the whole plan laid out. All I have to do is follow you. Stand with me this morning. Today is a good day. The sun is shining. It was real nice to see that this morning after a few rainy days. But more than that, today's an opportunity for you. Today's an opportunity for me to walk in fresh anointing. If you have received the Holy Spirit and it dwells inside of you, you have all the power and the authority that you need to walk in obedience. He will equip you. And if you don't have it, you don't have to leave here today without it. The scriptures say that if we repent, if we're baptized in Jesus' name, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say you might. It says you shall. That tells me he wants you to have it. He wants to give you the power. He wants to give you the authority. You have to choose to respond and to walk in obedience to what he's asking. What he's asking. Set aside the script. Set aside the expectations. Set aside the pressure. And just go after him. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the way that you equip us, that you empower us. Thank you, God, that you have given us your spirit. Your spirit is not just with us, but you have promised to dwell in us, leading us and guiding us in all truth. God, you are truth. And I pray this morning that you would help every one of us to lay aside our ideas, to lay aside our traditions, to lay aside our wants, to lay aside our hurts, to lay aside our distractions, to lay aside our disappointments, and just to look to you and to see you for who you are, to see you for the good, gracious, kind, loving God that you are. God, help us to see your compassion in a world that is full of evil. Help us to see the light of your word. Help us to be the light. Help us to let your light shine through us to others. God, I pray this morning that every person here would just look to you. Look to you to hear what you are calling us to today. And help us to just rest in knowing that you will lead us, that you will guide us, and you will empower us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.